or to hide them in your hearts and to apply them to your daily life. It is such a beautiful opportunity that we are blessed with at this particular time. We ask each of our listeners prepare themselves as we have prepared ourselves for a wonderful study of God's Word. Now, that may mean for you that you have approached this particular Bible study with prayer in mind, that you have an open Bible, that you have prepared your mind to be able to receive God's Word and God's truth as it is given. And so we are certainly grateful that you are joining us today. We are in the process of setting up our live stream as we are having just a little bit of difficulty on the, as we would expect, on the live streaming side on the YouTube studios, but we are working on that to the best of our ability, and we will keep doing that at least for a little while, and then, you know, when you set everything up, it works just fine, you're able to get it done, and then all of a sudden you try to go live at the right time, and it never, well, I shouldn't say never, many times it does not want to do what you ask it to do and have already set it up to do. And so we will see whether or not we can get those things up and running at this particular time. So stick with us. We're going to be taking care of several things on the fly, but we have a wonderful song for you while we are engaged in getting up our YouTube studio. So if you're listening to us via WJHF 106.9 in the Florence, Alabama area, whether or not you're listening to us on internet radio, thegospelradionetwork.org, or you are attempting to watch us on YouTube, we are going to get those things done. So here's the song. Enjoy it while we work with our YouTube for just a minute or two. We don't plan on spending too much time there, my friends.
Jesus paid the price on the cross for you and me. He came to seek and save all the lost. So we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. And on the first day of the week, we break the bread and drink the cup. In songs and hymns and spiritual songs, we sing to Him. We are the church, the church of Christ. We are the church of Christ. Amen. Forsaking not the assembling, encouraging one another, all the more we see the day drawing near. Before us stands an open door for the preaching of the word. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Upon this rock He built His church. The gates of hell shall not prevail. His words will keep in our hearts and wonder not. We are the church of Christ. We are the church of Christ. Amen. We take the gospel to the world, just like Jesus said. We make disciples of those who believe. They go down in the water sins are washed by the blood of the Lamb, then we are added by the Lord to His kingdom. We are the church, the church of Christ. We are the church of Christ. Amen. We are the church, the church of Christ. We are the church of Christ. Amen. We are the church, the church of Christ. We are the church of Christ. Amen.
All right, my friends. Well, I don't know what I did, but I figured it out. We are there. We are live on YouTube. So not only are we not only are we privileged to be on WJHF 106.9 Florence in the Florence, Alabama area, but we are also privileged to be on thegospelradionetwork.org. That is a live internet radio broadcast of reflections. And now, for the first time, this is groundbreaking, I'm telling you, because this is a country boy from Oklahoma who is now on YouTube Live. I'm probably going to miss that a couple of times. We have several months of our material on Facebook Live, but we are there. We are ready for YouTube Live now. We'll see how long we can last on YouTube. But what a privilege it is to be able to study the rich truths that are found in God's Word, to hide them into our hearts, and to apply them to our daily lives. So what I want to ask you to do is, now that we are up on YouTube, to go there. If you can, go there and find, we are live streaming. This is the Nesbitt Church of Christ YouTube site or channel, whatever it may be. And, okay, it says there is no sound on YouTube. Okay, well, let me see if I can edit that just a little bit, because I changed that up and tried to get the sound back, and we'll see if we can redo that. Just when I thought we were running well and doing good. See, I have a good stream going out, and I need to, let's see here, make sure that I've got all of my things correct. I want to make sure that I've got them done. If we don't have, let me see if I can go back over here. No sound on YouTube. Well, my friends, I'm going to give you another song. We're going to take just a half a second and see if we can figure this sound item out.
Don't you wanna go to that land? Don't you wanna go to that land? Don't you wanna go to that land where I'm bound? Joy.
nothing but a joy in that land. Nothing but joy in that land where I'm bound. Nothing but joy in that land. Nothing but joy in that land. Nothing but joy in that land where I'm bound. Nothing but peace in that land. Nothing but peace in that land.
Nothing but peace in that land where I'm found.
Nothing but peace in that land. Nothing but peace in that land.
Nothing but peace in that land where I'm found.
I've got a Savior in that land. I've got a Savior in that land. I've got a Savior in that land where I'm found.
Friends, we are up and live on YouTube once again. Hopefully, every time it wants to change, I'm going to have to go into some of the settings and change my sound. And it seems as if the sound wants to choose a particular item that does not participate very well with these items. And so I want to make sure that you can get back on and go to live stream and check things out. And so hopefully you are here and you are hearing the broadcast as we speak in regards to things. So, but we are live once again. We so appreciate your patience. I know that it's a struggle when errors occur and when everything just does not work. But my friends, your patience has been wonderful, and we always appreciate that very much. So let's try this again. Welcome to Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine, Study Hall for the Brave, for the spiritual-minded Bible student. My name is Rick Popejoy, and I serve as your host today. I pray that you are prepared and poised to study, to meditate, that's right, to reflect upon the precious book divine. Again, what a privilege it is to be able to be with you and to join with you in this broadcast. Our broadcast today is going to focus upon God is just. You know, Abraham once asked an important question to God: shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? Well, that's a good question, Genesis 18 and verse number 25. Shall not the God of all the earth do what is right? Well, the answer to that is yes. God will always do what is right. He is righteous, he is just, and therefore, he will always do that which is right. In John chapter 17 and verse number 17, it is important for us also to keep in mind that His Word is truth, and His Word is righteous. His Word is just. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. This is important that we understand the value that is invested in God's Word and see where things are going. You see, if we don't trust in the truth of God's Word, if we don't trust in the fact that God will always be, number one, a truth speaker, then we will lose confidence in God. We will lose confidence in His Word. Just as men have lost confidence in our government today, just as men have lost confidence in politicians, and men have lost confidence in religious people and preachers because they're not telling the truth. And we need individuals who are willing to tell us the truth. The truth, regardless of whether it hurts, regardless of whether or not it is of any value at all. And so we will see what we can do. Now, I'm still getting indications that there is no audio. And I thought I had taken care of that. You know, I've got good audio on my end, but there is no audio on the other end of that. And let me see if I can mess with just a couple of things here and change some things up. Let's see. And others are telling me that they, well, that's good, at least from the vantage point that I know that people are here. So let me see if I can get that microphone on and see what we can figure out. Well, it's not going to allow me in there. Well, I will tell you what, I am going to, because I don't want to waste all of our time, I am going to shut down. Let me go ahead and type this in. I'll give you another song, and then we will get right into our program today.
The cross He bore, it was for me. He paid the price on Calvary. His sacrifice has set me free. In His death I'm made alive, covered by His blood, God satisfied. And when He rose to sit on high, no more my soul will ever die. I will rejoice and ever cling to Jesus Christ, my Lord and King. In His death I'm made alive, covered by His blood, God satisfied. And you, my friend, can also share the love and grace that proves He cares. The love God shows is given free. He died for you, He died for me. And in His death I'm made alive, covered by His blood, God satisfied. And in His death I'm made alive, covered by His blood, God satisfied.
All right, my friends, we want to welcome you back on thegospelradionetwork.org. We're sorry for all of the difficulties that we've had today. But when you change things and you get things going from a different vantage point, I guess that's all you can expect. I'm not a tech guy, so I'll have to get a tech person to set me up, get everything figured out. Probably should have done that to begin with, and then we wouldn't have had a problem such as we have today. But you know what? Sometimes a country boy just thinks that he can do it. He may be able to survive, but he can't. That doesn't mean that he can survive virtually. So, but we're glad that you are back with us. I do want to, I said that we're going to do some things differently, and we certainly are. I want to begin by doing some items with regards to a Bible Minute with Mike Bonner. Now, Mike Bonner's not going to be with us, but he sends out a beautiful text every morning, and I get that, and I talked to him about this, and I said, Mike, I'd like to include those little Bible snippets, little encouraging words to those Bible students that join me on a regular basis. And so if you're joining us, I have one of those for you today. Yesterday, he sent me this text. He said, we must learn and remain diligent in our waiting. We must appreciate patience and endurance. We must embrace striving and being on fire for God. Know that God wants you to be ready to go, but eager in your waiting. Micah 7 and verse number 7 says, therefore will I look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Well, we're thankful for Brother Bonner and the work that he does in the kingdom throughout the world, but especially there at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ there in San Angelo, Texas. Brother Bonner and I used to work together, and we were blessed in that work together. But today we're going to focus on just a couple of elements. We've had, normally I would break these up, but today we're not going to do that. We're just going to spend some time together. We have about 30 minutes left in our program, and I want to spend some time talking to you and sharing with you and you back with me. I mean, if you can join us on thegospelradionetwork.org, and click on that Listen Live button, go to that login, put your first name in there, come in and join us. And we'll chat back and forth. I love good Bible study, and good Bible study is when we cause one another to think, to reason with each other. And so as I mentioned at the beginning of this program, that Abraham asked this important question back in Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 25, where he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now, Abraham makes this statement in the context, God has explained to him what is going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah, that the entire cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the other three cities of the plains are going to be annihilated. They're going to be destroyed. God is just about to wipe them out. And so in doing that, Abraham questions whether or not that aspect is a righteous judgment of God. In other words, what about the righteous? Remember, Lot is there. And what about the righteous individuals? Will God destroy the righteous with the wicked? In fact, prior to that statement, here's the full text. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Well, my friends, God will always do right. He is just and he is righteous. In fact, listen to the New Testament in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 7. As John writes, and he says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now, the ideal of that text is that he that is a human being that doeth righteousness, when you do what is right, then you are righteous. That's the definition of righteous, right? You do what is right. Now, even as he, that is the he there, we would normally capitalize that aspect of it. And in that sense, we would say he, God, is righteous. So a human being, when he acts righteously, is righteous just as God is righteous. Why? Because God acts righteously. But righteousness stems from the very character and nature of God. Listen to Psalm 145 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works." God is righteous. The Bible emphasizes this aspect of who God is. Now today we like to talk, and there's nothing wrong with talking about it, but if we talk about God's love to the exclusion of his righteousness, if we talk about his mercy and his grace and we exclude the concept of his righteousness and his justice, then we are setting the world up for failure. The religious world, I believe, has a big role to play in the problems that exist in today's world because they have overemphasized the aspect of love, mercy, and justice to the exclusion of God's righteousness and his justice. In fact, one of the items that we will certainly see, which is a dangerous thing, is that the world today, in our cancel society or cancel generation, cannot even stand to hear anything that opposes their point of view. In fact, a news website of a denominational organization was suspended from its Twitter account this last week for saying that Dr. Rachel Levine, the Assistant Secretary for Health and Human Services of HHS, is a biological male. The Daily Citizen, which is a part of what most of the world knows as Focus on the Family, engaged in, as Twitter says, they engaged in hateful rhetoric when they tweeted January the 19th, and here's the tweet. I want to give you the exact tweet. On Tuesday, President-elect Joe Biden announced that he had chosen Dr. Rachel Levine to serve as Assistant Secretary for Health and Human Services, or for the for Health and the Department of HHS. Dr. Levine is a transgender woman, that is, a man who believes he is a woman. Now, that's all that they said, is that Levine is a biological male who pretends to be a woman. And that is the definition that they gave to transgender in regards to that. Now, the president of Focus on the Family did respond. He says, as I've noted before, big tech titans are the new emperors of the 21st century, wielding an inordinate amount of power by silencing individuals and organizations that do not comport or cave to their political or social points of view. And I was interested in this particular story, especially as I read from an RN who responded to the article down in the comments. And here is what the RN had says: "What's dismaying to me as an RN, who is about a year before taking the nurse practitioner boards, is that this moment has gone from rules about societal comportment into actual scientific discourse. If I see a patient I need," that's in emphasis, says, "I need to know if he or she is a she or he. If I don't, that patient could literally die." By the way, she gives an example there of the reason why a nurse might need to know the biology of that person. But then the nurse goes on, "Probably not as much of an issue for Dr. Rachel Levine. The shorthand of pronouns is extremely useful if we accept that there are biological differences. But no, someone could complain to my employer about this post and try to get me fired. And in the perversities of our times, my forms that I fill out, I start care on a patient. Those forms, those nursing forms, still have male and female, just like they have white and black and Asian, etc. Are we going to start assigning ourselves to our skin color also? Race also has an impact on medical decisions. And she describes some items for that. But here's what I find interesting. They have moved from the aspect of societal issues to a scientific discourse. And so if we are righteous, that is, if we are truth speakers, and if we act based upon the truth that there are only two genders, then we can be canceled. I love that terminology. We can be canceled in our social interactions with people. Well, I will tell you, let's just boil this down to the most basic fundamental element of all. I'm okay if you want to do that, but you cannot cancel my relationship with God. You can cancel my relationship with the world. You can cancel my relationship with my neighbor. You can cancel my relationship with any and everybody, but you cannot cancel my relationship with God. And I stand upon my relationship with God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. I have a primary purpose in my seeking, and I am going to follow that. No wonder then Paul would write to the Colossian church, and he would say, if then you be risen with Christ, those individuals that have obeyed the gospel, those individuals who have been born anew, those individuals who have been baptized into Christ, if you have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. My friends, God is righteous, and he expects, he demands. There is a must clause with regards to this, a command issued that we must be righteous also. In fact, to be righteous, He punishes sins. That is a part of righteousness. Not holding people accountable and not being responsible to is a failure on the part of a society to be righteous. And so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 6, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. So the recompensing of tribulation, that is the meeting out of punishment of wicked doers, is an item that is designed to be just. Listen to Romans chapter 13 and verse number 4. This is in relationship to the federal government or any government. It says, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. for he is a minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That is the purpose. Now, it's not the sole purpose. There are other passages that God gives, but this is the aspect that we're talking about. God is righteous, and therefore he punishes sin. In fact, sin separates us from the very fellowship of God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And God's ministers, in this case, the federal government, is designed to do the same. Or even local government. Government itself is designed to act the way God acts in relationship to sin. Well, the same is true as we trickle down from God to government and to every human being. Romans chapter 11 and verse number 22, speaking of God again, it says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off." And so we see example after example and principle after principle by which God establishes himself as righteous and just. Now, there are many examples that are given for us in the pages of God's Word, which also clearly indicate that God is a God of righteousness. We could begin as early as Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve as they are cast out of the garden. They are punished. There is a curse that is placed upon them. There is the mercy of God as he indicates his wonderful grace in establishing the plan of redemption, that through the seed of woman, there would come a savior, destroyer of that which is wicked. And but he drives them out of the garden. It's an example of the fact that God punishes sin. The earth does not produce in the same fashion as it used to produce. It doesn't produce outside the garden the same way that it produced inside the garden. There is a curse. The pain that would have normally been associated with childbirth has now been increased so that humanity might remember. See, the pain of childbirth and the sweat of the brow in our working and toiling with the soil of the earth is but a reminder of our sin and the need that we have for God. Never forget that. Both of those items are associated with the sin of Adam and Eve. Then there is Cain. You know, Cain had the mark that was placed upon him. He felt like his punishment was too much, that there was absolutely no way that he could survive that. And so he became a vagabond in the world. He is not only without fellowship of God now, but he is without fellowship of the righteous at this particular time. And then you come down to Genesis 6. We haven't even moved but six chapters in the Bible yet, and the Bible is establishing over and over and over again that God is righteous. And one of the examples of that in each of these cases is that God punishes sin. The world is destroyed because of its wickedness. Eight souls survive on the ark to go into a new world that is not contaminated with that. So the world that was then was destroyed, but that did not stop the righteousness of God in meting out punishment against sin. Nor did it stop the desire of humanity in order to sin against God, to transgress his will. We find in Genesis 18 and 19 where we started this program, right? With Sodom and Gomorrah. The wickedness of those cities had come up to God. And so he deals with them. Now we could go on and on with regards to Egypt, with the plagues, Israel taken into Assyrian captivity, Judah taken into Babylonian captivity, Ananias and Sapphira falling dead before God in Acts 5. I mean, we could go on and on. The brutality of Jesus upon the cross. Imagine the brutality, even before he got to the cross, the brutality of the scourging that he took is so intense. And then the sacrifice upon the cross itself, all of those things indicate, and we can see very clearly in our society that we are running like a snowball headed for hell, right? And God punishes sin, always has and always will. Now, sometimes God delays his punishment so as, number one, to give mankind an opportunity to repent, right? Notice with me just a couple of passages here, if you can indulge. For 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So God delays his punishment for the purpose of repentance. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. And in Revelation chapter 2, we find this very wicked woman in the church. Now, some people, when they hear of God's delay upon the worldwide universal destruction of the earth, they say, well, that's in relationship to the world. And that is true. It is in relationship to the world. But my friends, we ought to pinpoint that. Is it in relationship to all men, and that includes the household of God. So turn with me. Here we have a lady by the name of Jezebel. That is, she is likened unto that wicked woman out of the Old Testament. "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest this woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess." So she is a religious person. She's attending church there in Thyatira. She is promoting herself as a religious leader. She says she is a prophetess. And what is she doing? She is teaching, notice, "to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols." But do you know what God does? Now notice this very, God is going to punish sin. In fact, he says, verse number 22, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into a great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to his works." That's what God will do, but he's delaying. Did you hear the phrase, "except they repent"? Now back up. I did skip verse number 21 for emphasis' sake. He says, "And I gave her space," that is, time, "to repent of her fornication." I gave her time, and she repented not. God gave her time, just as the world clock ticks today. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Every tick is a sign of the compassion of God. Every talk is a design for God's loving kindness. He is awaiting that time, in which is the perfect time to send his son with the shout of the archangel, with the trump of God, and take away time, and it will be no more. My friends, God punishes sin. There are all kinds of examples of God doing that with regards to sin. But I want you to notice he will punish those who disobey, and that includes today. Think about Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 and following, where it says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels," now that's the Old Testament, "spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression, and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. That's how it happened back then. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So there is a contrast being made. That's what happened under the Old Testament, but guess what? It will happen unto those who live under the New Testament as well. Well, Hebrews 12 and 25 also emphasizes this. See that you refuse him not that speaketh. For if they, Old Testament, escaped not who refused him when he spake on the earth, that is from Mount Sinai, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? So, both in the Old and in the New Testament, back then and now with us today. God will punish sin. That's an important aspect of what we are talking about when we talk about all of this. Now, I know that we just have a few minutes left, but I do want to talk just for a minute or two about that final punishment. There are a lot of individuals who deny that hell will exist. They will deny that hell will be eternal. But my friends, I want you to hear from the Bible how God describes this punishment. And I do want you to understand it will be a punishment. Punishment based upon our sins. Matthew 25 and 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So it is everlasting, and it is a punishment. Hebrews 10 and verse number 29, of how much sore punishment suppose ye he would be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, who hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Yes, of how much sorer punishment. It's an everlasting punishment. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse number 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. This will be a punishment. It is a punishment based upon the fact that man has transgressed the will of God. Now notice how this punishment is described. Not just everlasting, not just eternal, not just sorer, but it's going to be from the presence of the Lord. But notice how the Bible describes it quickly here for us. It is a place of destruction, right? It's everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Now, this word is not annihilation. That's not what that's the way some people want to. That's not annihilation. No. It's from the presence of the Lord always. There is a continual aspect of this ideal. But notice here, it is also a place of torment. Now, brethren and friends, I tell you this because I want you to understand this is not a place you need to go. You know, there are certain places in Memphis that I don't want to go. There are certain streets down in Memphis that I don't want to be at, especially after dark, but in some of them, I don't want to be there anywhere. There are some places in the United States that even our police officers don't want to be, and they are just dangerous places. I don't want to be in a place of torment. It's intense, agonizing pain. That's what we're talking about here. So listen, maybe just a couple of scriptures here before we make the application of what we're talking about here. Matthew 13, 41 and 42, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and they shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, my friends, that's intense, agonizing pain. In hell, the Bible says in Luke chapter 16 and verse 23 and 24, he lifted up his eyes. This is the rich man being in torments. He says himself to Abraham, he says, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger. Have mercy on me, he says. Tip just the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented. Intense, agonizing pain. There is no more intense, agonizing pain as an illustrative aspect than fire itself. Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 10, it says, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Now, there are many other passages that talk about that aspect, but you can imagine then this horrific pain. But my friends, maybe one of the greatest aspects of the torment is that it will be a separation from God. They shall depart from the presence of God. Jesus will say in Matthew 25 and verse number 41, "Those that are on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." They're going to be separated from the presence of God. The presence of God is all about glory, magnificence, light, beauty, riches, sinfulness, all of those things they will not have in their presence. And then the Bible talks about the wages of sin is what? It's death, right? It's eternal death. And so it's very important that there's no light at all. Jude, in verse number 13, describes it as wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. The blackness of darkness. Now, my friends, the reason why we bring this up and the reason why I wanted to be able to deal with this today in relationship to our YouTube channel, but we're not going to be able to deal with that. I'll try to get back to it. But I wanted to talk about why we do what we do. Why we worship God because we love God, right? We worship God, we adore Him, we praise Him, and we do that because we love Him. This is the way that He has said is the best and only acceptable means of giving praise and adoration to Him. And so we return that back, as He said. Because He is our Creator, He is our lover, He is our designer, He is the one who sustains us and will ultimately judge Him. And we love Him for all of those items. But why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? The Bible tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Why do we do that? We know that there is persecution. We know that there are individuals who would despise us and ridicule us for doing what we do. This is who we are. So why do we do it? Listen to 2 Corinthians 5. Verses 10 and 11. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body, his body, according as he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, knowing therefore that there is terror upon them, and that there shall be terror upon us if we do not, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, His punishment, He is righteous, He is just. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." That's who we are. That's what we do. Think about just those three simple statements. We persuade men. We, not supernatural beings, not angels, not the Holy Spirit, not the Father, not the Son. Ever since that the Great Commission was given, God restricted the telling of the Great Commission, the scheme of redemption, to mortals. That's our job. That's our responsibility. It's not in the non-Christian's job. It's not in the religious world's job. It's in the New Testament church. The Church of Christ has the responsibility to take the gospel into all the world. And it's our job. We possess the soul-saving truth, and we need to tell it to others. Christians must do their work. God left us to spread that message, right? 1 Corinthians 1:21. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Let's go and let's preach, right? That's our job. So in that preaching, what are we doing? Are we making everybody feel good? That's the way some people look at it. Don't ever say anything that might convict them. Don't ever say anything that might make them think. Don't ever say anything that might get them upset. You just tell them the sweetheart things. That's not what the Bible says. It says, therefore, we persuade. We cannot force people. I'm not going to tie you up with a rope and drag you into heaven to accept the truth. I'm not going to do that. I can't do that, in fact. I can persuade, though. I can give strong argumentation for such. See, we're free moral agents. We have the power of choice, and therefore I need to be persuasive unto men. Romans 12 and verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It's your reasonable service. I'm offering you reasonable things in regard. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. But notice here, we persuade men. We don't persuade God. We persuade men. That's our job. And so why do we do what we do? We do what we do because we know God is just. We do what we do because we know that God commands it. We do what we do because we know that God loves it, and that we want as many people as possible to love God, to draw close, to draw nigh unto Him. My friends, I want to thank you today for joining me here on Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. My humble apologies for all of the difficulties in the beginning, but I'm hoping we'll have that worked out this week. Come back and join us at Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine.
Yeah.